Good day, and welcome to the MHG Meeting Event Information Quarterly Report International Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Marine Harvest Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon. My name is Kim Galtung-Dolsvig. I'm the Investor Relations Officer at Marine Harvest. So today we will go through the Q4 presentation material, which has been disclosed to the market this morning. So jumping into the presentation, which will be followed by a Q&A afterwards, on page 3, the highlights. The operational EBIT for the quarter was 837 million. We saw good contributions from our farming segment in Norway. Our feed division delivered an all-time high results, both in terms of volumes and EBIT. The consumer products division had a good quarter. However, it was impacted negatively by operational startup issues at our new plant in Rosyth, Scotland. Overall, Q4 was characterized by strong demand in Europe and Asia. Prices in Norway in the market currency euro was up by 6% in the quarter, which was good in light of a global volume increase of about 7%. In the Americas, the market was improving. It's still challenging in the Americas. Prices are still low. However, prices towards the end of the quarter in December and also into 2016 has improved. Also in Q4, we issued a successful 340 million euro convertible bond at a very low coupon of 0.125% at a 35% premium. So this takes our financial position to being very strong, and also our liquidity position on the back of this transaction has further improved. The board of directors decided to announce a quarterly dividend payment of NOK 1.4 per share for the quarter. Moving on to page 4, key financials. I will not go through all of the numbers, but some of the highlights for the quarter was revenues of NOK 8 billion, which is a 17% increase year over year, and about 28 billion for 2015. That's a record for Marine Harvest, which was up 10% year over year. Operational EBIT, we touched upon 837 million for the quarter, down year over year. Net interest bearing debt for the quarter ended at 9.6 billion. Underlying EPS ended at 1.27. Harvest volumes was 110,000 tons, which is up 5% year over year. For 2015, we harvested about the same as we did in 2014 at 420,000 tons. Operational EBIT for the quarter was very different across the regions, which I'll come back to when we go through the divisional operational review. Moving on to page 5, prices. Prices were good in Europe, as I commented on earlier. Very good in NOK terms, but also good in Euro terms, the market currency. Prices in the Americas are still at a low level, still below break-even. So our Chilean operation, for example, is still loss-making at today's prices. However, prices did improve towards year-end and also into 2016. Moving on to page 7, just a few comments on the bridge. Q4 2014, we had an operational EBIT of 1,032. The difference to the results for this quarter was mainly due to a negative contribution from our farming segment of 200 NOK million. The driver for this negative year-over-year change is due to our Chilean operation being loss-making, but also increasing costs in general throughout our farming operations, both in Norway, but also in Scotland and Canada. Our feed division improved results year over year by 13 million. Consumer products was down 29 million year over year. However, 95 million loss was recognized at the Rosyth plant. So excluding that, profits were good for the quarter for the consumer products division. Moving on to page 8, Norway. The results for the quarter ended at 809 million in operational EBIT. Results were heavily impacted by increased prices. The reference price ended at NOK 45 for the quarter, which was up 15% in NOK terms year over year. So very good price development. However, we had a very high contract share of 73% in December, which impacted results negative. Meaning that we didn't have the full spot exposure to the high spot prices for the end of the year. Cost development for our Norwegian operation is concerning, and we expect high costs also for the first half of 2016. Moving on to page 9. Here are some details on our contract portfolio. 30,000 tons has been contracted for Q1, meaning that our contract share for Norway is at 56% for Q1. However, due to very small volumes in January, the contract share is in fact as high as 79% for January. Page 10 details the operational EBIT per kilo per region, and it's quite unusual to see such a high variance in between the operational performance. South being very stable. West was the best performing region for the quarter, 16.2. But then mid being heavily impacted by biological challenges for the quarter. And we have seen some sites have been fully harvested out early, meaning that the harvest cost at those sites have been very high. We have also seen seen the average harvest weight be quite low for region mid for the quarter, and this has impacted results negatively. North was good, and a total of 12.1 for the quarter. Page 11, in Norway we have applied for 14 development licenses, and the application is based on a new technology called the egg. The egg is an enclosed technology producing salmon in a controlled, closed end environment. This is, of course, this has not been tested yet, so we will build a pilot for 2016 and conduct further tests and verifications for the next few years. We are very, optimistic that this could be one of the solutions to solving the biological challenges we have today in Norway. But we are also humble that this is only one of many efforts currently seeked in Norway. Moving on to page 12 and Scotland. Operational EBIT for the quarter was negative 30 million, impacted, as I said, by negative contributions from Rosyth. Rosyth was allocated 87 million of the total loss from that plant for the quarter. Prices have also been weak in GBP terms, driven by increased competition from Norwegian salmon in that market. We continue to see challenging biological conditions going forward for this business unit. Hence, we guide costs to further increase for the first half of 2016. The current generation of fish we are harvesting exhibits high cost. Moving on to page 13 in Canada. Overall, good performance from our Canadian operation despite a challenging market. We have some positive volume effects due to the higher volumes, but again, low prices in the Americas has impacted EBIT per kilo negatively for the quarter. Prices in Miami was down back to our farming plant as much as 13% for the quarter year-over-year. Higher costs have also driven biological costs higher and also higher feed costs. Chile, page 14. Prices in Chile was down by 22% back to plant for the quarter. Hence, in this type of price environment, profits have been very poor. On top of that, there are many, the biomass in Chile today is still quite high, hence biological conditions are challenging, and full cost in books has consequently risen to $5.1 per kilo for the quarter. Production costs are expected to increase in the first half of 2016. However, we have seen in recent 4 months of 2015 that the number of smolt stocking is down as much as 17%, meaning that the biomass is on its way down for 2016, but also indicating that the biomass should further contract with today's knowledge in 2017. Page 15, Ireland and Faroes. Faroes had again a good quarter, good contribution from this segment. Lower costs in Faroes than in other production regions, and good price achievement. Production costs in both Ireland and Faroes are expected to be higher in the first half of 2016. Consumer products, page 16. Good seasonal demand in Europe, in particular in southern Europe and Germany and the UK for the quarter. Q4 is the best quarter for consumer products due to Christmas sales. So EBIT margin and the overall EBIT level is usually the highest in Q4. That was the case again this quarter. Very good contribution from our chilled segment. We did, however, have startup challenges at the Rolf site. This plant was set up to cater for a big client we were awarded in the UK, a big retail client, long-term contract duration. So a recovery plan has now been initiated, but it takes some time to sort out the operational efficiency and the plant effectiveness. Hence, we do guide for a NOK 50 million loss in Q1, and we do expect break even to be achieved towards the end of the second quarter. Despite the losses, though, our customer is happy, and we achieved 97% customer fulfillment ratio for the quarter. It's very important to manage your yield in the processing segment, and the losses is a result of poorly managed or poorly achieved yields. So the yield will gradually and is expected to improve in the months ahead. Moving on to page 17 and feed. We had a record results from our feed operation, both in terms of volume and operational EBIT. Production capacity has been increased to approximately 310,000 tons, up from 275,000 tons, which we commented or guided on for last year. So this plant has been a huge success. We're very happy about the way it's running and performing. And we have announced that we will build the second plant, new feed plant, in the next years to come, in Scotland to be precise. A location has not been decided yet. But once we obtain approvals and the necessary permits, sometime throughout 2016, we will start building the plant in 2017. And the aim is to complete construction and start producing before the summer of 2018. That concludes the operational review. In the next section on financials, I will not go in detail on, but on page 22, I think it's worth spending some time on the cash flow guidance. This is new for the year. We do guide on working capital or on several cash flow items for 2016. And the working capital, we do expect to increase that of NOK 300 million. To further support organic growth. The CapEx is projected to be 1.8 billion NOK. Please keep in mind that the depreciation for last year was 1.25 billion, and that will increase further to about 1.4 billion for 2016. So this means we have a number of expansion projects planned for 2016, and we focus in particular, particularly this year, as we did last year, on freshwater projects. interest expenses of NOK 270 million and tax payable of 700 million. Revised NIB target of from 950 million euros to 1,050 euro. The reason for that is increasing farming volumes, but also our business is growing across the group. Hence, we can also allocate more debt on our non-farming cash generating assets. Quarterly dividend, as I mentioned, 1.4 for the quarter. The ex date in Norway is on the 26th of February, and expected payment is 2nd of March. Q4 ends the time when we have reported our financials in NOK. We have managed our cash flows and our funding in euro for many years, actually since 2006. So starting from Q1 16, we will have euro as our reporting and functional currency. So this will be a change for us, but the salmon market is mostly in Europe and in euro. And as I mentioned, we manage our cash flows in euro, so there will be no operational changes. This is purely technical and from a reporting point of view. Just a few comments on page 24, supply development. We have seen a global supply increase of 7% year over year for Q4. This was slightly higher than what we projected last quarter, and this is driven by some required harvesting in Norway and also biological challenges in Chile. Scotland and Canada developed more or less as expected. Page 25, we have talked about. Page 26, the global volumes by market. We see a good underlying demand in Europe and Asia. Russia, of course, is down by 38%, 33% to be precise, in Q4. But this is due to the trade... trade sanctions, so as expected. Challenging but improving U.S. market. Brazil has developed very nicely. But China, Hong Kong is more or less flat year over year due to lack of large size salmon and also continuing trade restrictions and trade barriers with China and Hong Kong, which is unfortunate. Page 27, our updated industry guidance on supply for 2016. We expect supply growth to decline for this year by between negative 6 and negative 2%. And that's more or less evenly spread out for the year. On page 28, our own volumes, we are projecting or guiding on 436,000 tons, and that's 4,000 tons less than the previous quarter due to reduced volumes from Chile. But all other regions are unchanged. So summing up on page 29, we see the market balance for salmon continues to be tight for 2016. Future prices are... very high at 50 NOK per kilo for 2016, 5.1 euro per kilo. which is good. Strong demand in Europe and Asia continues. And in the Americas, we do expect the market to improve on the back of lower Chilean small stocking. The dividends of 1.4 we talked about, euro will be the reporting currency starting from Q1. And also the Capital Markets Day on 1st and 2nd of June has been announced today. This will be held in Bjugn, and we hope to see many of you up there for those 2 days. And more details around that event will be released in due course. So, operator, that concludes my comments for the quarter. So, please open up for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question this time, please press star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Okay, we will now take our first question from Gianmarco Bonacina from Equita. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon, Kim. Sorry for the voice. Few questions. The first one is about the outlook for 2016. Can you please explain what has changed since Q3 when you gave initial indication of a flat market for 2016? Now you are expecting a decline of 4% in global supply. Also, I would like to know if it's fair to assume that given the 20% decline in smolt in Chile, basically in 2017 also, we may see a decline in supply for Chile. Then, if you can comment a little bit more on this new technology, egg technology, because it's not clear exactly how you will farm the salmon, just a couple of words. And then the last, on the tax for 2016, you are guiding for 700 million. Just to understand, is that a fixed amount independent of the pre-tax earnings, or it could vary based on let's say higher or lower earnings, so it's a kind of a tax, implied tax rate. Thank you.
Thank you, Gianmarco, for those questions. So, starting with your first one on outlook, we have seen that Norway, for example, has developed more negative on the back of biological challenges in Q4. We have seen the number of individuals have been harvested in Q4 at low harvest weights, and this was required to comply. So looking at the biomass structure as of today, we see that there are fewer individuals to harvest from for 2016 than the expectations previous quarter. So it's mostly Norway contributing to this negative revision, in addition to Chile. And in Chile, we have seen that harvesting in Q4 was slightly higher than what we expected, but that was at the expense of volumes for 2016. So some of those volumes have shifted into Q4 15. So again, looking at the biomass statistics, we see that the number of individuals have come down, and also the harvest weight in recent months have also developed slightly different than what we expected 3 months ago. And that brings me on to 2017 for Chile, and you're right. The production time in sea indicates that the reduced smolt stocking should support a further negative growth in 2017. So a further decline based on the number of salmon in the ocean today. Of course, you have some variables that could change that, temperature being one of them, but also, of course, if smolt stockings change or increase dramatically now in the next few months, that fish will also be harvested in 2017. So we don't know yet. All the number of fish is not in the ocean today that will be harvested in 2017. But based on the smolt stocking today, it indicates further reduction. And your third question on technology. So the idea here is to, and this is only one of many potential solutions that we are looking at the moment, and also the industry is looking at. But we are the one in conjunction with our partner who has launched this egg enclosed technology. And the idea is to have the egg closed for the whole farming period, and the water temperature would be slightly lower because you are you're getting the water from below the egg, so deep from the ocean floor, and hence the water temperature is more stable, and the conditions, the growing conditions, is more stable, and this is very favorable from a farming point of view. So there are some good advantages to producing salmon in this technology. You also have the idea is to have slightly lower feed conversion ratio, because you can monitor the feed consumption much more closely, and also from an environmental perspective, in terms of waste and environmental footprint, it's also beneficial. So a number of advantages, but still early days, and a pilot will be tested in 2016, which will determine the speed of potential further development. This is an application at this stage, so we also need to get final approval by the government. So then on tax, this is cash flow guiding. So this is the best estimate we have today. This is tax payments in 2016 based on last year's earning. So this is not equivalent to pre-tax earnings. This is the tax payment on a group level, which we expect to pay in 2016. So do you have any further questions, or should we move on?
No, just sorry, one follow-up about the egg technology. Can you give an idea about the cost just for the infrastructure? Is this a significant cost, or it's a small cost? So what is the concern you have, given the numerous advantages? So what is the disadvantage? Is just the cost that is very expensive, or thank you?
Well, with all sorts of new technologies, it's of course costly to produce a new a new way, or you know, a production unit. So with all other technologies, the unit cost of course will come down as we produce more and more of these units, but we don't know yet when that will happen. So it's too early days, John Marco, to comment specifically on the unit. But you know, that will be announced when we get there.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our next question from Fredrik Iverson from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Firstly, you say that you expect costs in Norway to remain high throughout the first half of 2016, but is it anything that might imply lower costs by the second half of the year? Or is that just too early to say?
Hello, Frederick. It is, you know, we have commented on or guided on the cost in the first half, and that's based on the biomass we have today. If you look in the note, you know, we have a record high biomass cost. So the current generation we are harvesting on is a high cost generation, and that goes for all the different business units. The cost in the second half, we haven't commented on yet because it depends on a number of factors. This will be, a change in generation as well. So it depends on how the first half goes, and it also depends on how the temperature and the biology is in the summer.
Okay, thanks. And then on the restructuring in Scotland, can you give just a ballpark figure on the expected savings here?
Well, we have said minus 50 million for losses in the first quarter, and then breaking even towards the second towards the end of the second quarter.
Yeah, I'm more referring to the reduced headcount and the restructuring program.
Oh, okay. Well, labor cost in percentage of total cost is around 7 to 8%. So this will not have a significant impact on production cost per kilo. But this is something we have to do to ensure that we are rightly positioned. But there are more important cost variables, feed and biological costs are much more important in this context. But this is more of a necessary step.
Yeah, gotcha. And speaking about feed, last quarter you stressed that feed prices were to be high or at a high level. But you don't really mention that today, in the same extent at least. Can you comment on the current situation and what you expect for 2016?
Well, we have seen that if feed prices are expected to be high still, we have seen that the price of marine ingredients have come down a little bit, and also the prices of non-marine ingredients, wheat and the other soft commodities going into the production of feed, has also been on the negative side in local currency. But when we convert it to NOK, then it is still high. So we do expect feed costs to follow the trend, and the trend the last years has been for an increase. So there's no change in that.
Okay, thank you. And just the last one. If I correct for the startup issues in Rosyth, I get an underlying margin improvement by approximately 1 percentage point for the consumer products. Can you give some color on that improvement and what's sort of driving that?
Yes, that's it's mainly the big footprint we have in Poland with Morpol. They had a good quarter. Of course, the fourth quarter should be the best, but you're right, year over year is also an improvement. So good operational efficiency at Morpol, but also Kritsen in France, our smoked operation in France, had negative earnings in Q4 14, and they have been through changes and efficiency improvements throughout 2015, and Q4 was an okay quarter for them. So they are also back in making profits. So it's mainly Morpol and the smoked operations which has contributed to the positive positive year-over-year change.
Okay, thanks. And just going forward, do you see any more fine-tuning possibilities in this segment?
There are, because we are introducing more and more automation. Remember that processing is today extremely labor-intensive, so we are always trying to look at the different processes. There are lots of different handling and logistics and different teams involved in producing salmon. So I think we have a lot to do here in the next few years to improve the production process in the processing segment, and we have many many plants across Europe. So we are trying to learning from the best ones, and by also using better IT systems and software, we can also improve. So, but this will be an ongoing process. But so there are no particular projects we have highlighted. Apart from that, this is an ongoing program.
Okay, very clear. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, there are no further questions. I would like to turn the call back over to you, Mr. Dosbeck, for any further closing remarks.
Okay, thank you all for listening in and sharing your time listening to our update. That concludes the Q4 earnings update. Thank you.
This will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.